It's good to be in church tonight. Let's stand. A little chorus I've been singing for the last couple weeks. It's 501 in your hymn book. Are you thankful that God saved you?
Amen.
Oh, I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. And once I your testimony. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for saving me. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. And once I was lost, but now I'm found, and now my soul, it's heaven bound. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. at me. Oh, when he took me in, he wasn't looking at my heart. It was so black with sin. He was looking at the blood. It's flowing rich and green. Oh, that precious blood. It looking at me. Oh, when he took me in, he wasn't looking at my heart. It was so black by sin. Yes, he was looking at the blood, flowing rich and free. That precious blood, it covers me. It covers me. He wasn't looking at me. Oh, when he took me in, he wasn't looking at my heart. It was so black by sin. He was looking at the blood. It's flowing rich and that covers me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Yes, I'm so glad that my Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm on
Aren't you thankful tonight that he sets you free? Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in church again. First time of 2019. Amen. If he comes right now, that'd be fine with me. If it's the last service of 2019, but if not, we'll just keep pressing on until he comes. Amen. Until we take that final step into another body. So, amen. God bless you. Wanted to share a couple testimonies. Good to have Sister Sabra back with us. And she was traveling, and Satan sure tried to disturb her flights and things, but we're certainly happy that she made it back safely. And had a few testimonies we wanted to share. The little one-year-old journey card that we'd prayed for on Sunday morning with the 106-degree fever is doing much better, and they were supposed to release him from the hospital today, so praise the Lord for that. And then Treasure had come up for prayer last Wednesday night. She'd been having a lot of pain on the top of her foot for about 3 days and was limping, and sometimes she couldn't even hardly take a step, and came up for prayer Wednesday night, and the next morning the pain was completely gone. So we want to praise the Lord for that. And got several prayer requests we want to remember in prayer. Brother Trevor is preaching for Brother Carl Herms in Florida tonight, so I want to remember them in prayer there for the services and for traveling mercies. And then we've got quite a few that aren't feeling well. Noah and Lily Carter, Jackson Bryant, Brother Bill and Sister Brenda Layton, Sister Betty Lou Bryant, and then Sister Vera said Isaac, Wesley, Eli, and Cohen are all sick with the flu, and Summer also has a touch of it, so I want to remember them in prayer. And Brother Morse had texted me and said that some of the family got a hold of him and said Sister Fulcher is not doing well at all, so I want to remember her in prayer. And then want to continue to remember Sister Estera. Brother Joshua had called me today, and she's still having some problems with her blood pressure and sugar levels fluctuating drastically. So I want to remember her in prayer again tonight. And then want to continue to remember Joseph Sargent. So got a chance to talk to him in the basement for a little bit tonight, and he said his finger is getting better, but we just want to just continue to pray and just believe for complete healing, that when he goes to see the hand specialist, they'll bring back a good report, and that the nerve damage and things will be healed there. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Stephen, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Heavenly Father, what a privilege to be in your house again tonight with precious saints, Lord. Lord, we have a number of requests that have come in. First of all, Brother Trevor, Lord, I just pray you be with him in the services down in Tampa, in that little group there, Lord. Just help him to slip into the channel that you'd have for him, Lord, and deliver the word. Help them to be receptive to it, Lord. Lord, for all the ones that are sick, young adults and little kids and all the ones that are struggling, Lord, I just pray you'd come to their bedside tonight. Touch their bodies, raise them up, Lord. Lord, the desire on so many people's heart is to be in church. And Lord, we just pray you'd honor that desire, raise them up off the sick bed, bring them back into fellowship with us on Sunday. And for Brother Sergeant, Lord, as he's fighting the battle and keeping up his faith, Lord, believing for his healing on his finger, I just pray you continue to work on that, Lord, and deliver him every bit, Lord. Lord, just pray now that you'd continue to visit with us, Lord. Lord, we've enjoyed these services over the last number of months, Lord, how you've moved and how you've delivered messages from the preacher and from the tape and from speaking in tongues, and however it's been, Lord, you've had a way to speak to our hearts, Lord, and to bring conviction by the word, that we might change and be conformed to your image. And we just invite you to come now into the service and speak to our hearts again, Lord. Lord, have your way in this service with your people. We worship you and we honor you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Ben Wright.
Y'all know this song, you can try to help me out with it.
Father of love, seated on your throne of grace, it's only by your mercy we are saved. Lord,
Appreciate that, Brother Ben. That was wonderful. What a wonderful song of praise. Amen. This is 59 in your hymn book. If the brothers would please come.
I'm leaning.
The coming judgment of fire and brimstone, and a glorious endless heaven of the justified alone. As he rode across the mountains, you could hear him sing the song as he went riding on. Oh, there is power, power, there's wonder working power in the blood. It's a and it's hanging on the wall. His Bible's worn and dusty, and it's seldom touched at all. But his message from this Bible will meet us at Judgment Day, for God's truth keeps marching on. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Yes, glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, singing glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. There
Amen. You happy to be serving the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly. How many is glad to have our song leader back?
Amen.
Certainly appreciate Brother Hoover and Brother Ben filling in, but we appreciate having the Stutzman family back, not just the song leader, but all the Stutzman family. We appreciate, happy to have them back, and my, it's good to be in church.
Amen.
Amen. I think we got time for one more song tonight, don't we? Let's try it, same key. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I... Oh, is that how you feel about it tonight? Whatever comes, whatever goes, oh, you. I don't know how your day has been, but if our day has been any inclination of the service, then I believe we'll just have church tonight.
All right.
Because the devil has just tried to fight every way that he can. I woke up this morning, congestion in my chest, and couldn't hardly talk again, and couldn't hardly breathe. And I thought, how on earth are we going to have service tonight like I had planned? And, you know, right up until about the time I stepped into my office tonight, it was still pretty bad. About the time I got down there and started looking into the scriptures and things, it just seemed like my voice got better. And so praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good to see Sister Patty in service. I know the enemy tried to fight her on Sunday, but boo, devil.
Amen.
Good to see Sister Sizemore back there. They said the enemy was trying to fight her when she came in, but boo, devil.
Amen.
Amen. He's a defeated foe.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, musicians. And you know, there's something about it. We serve a God. Brother Branham said that when it came time to deal with demons and devils, he said, if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, he said, all he had to use was just his finger to flick the devils away. But he said, when it came to those lost sheep, he went and he put them over his shoulder and carried them, the strongest part of the man. Amen. So I thank God that he's still dealing in that way.
Amen.
Just takes his finger to flick away the devil. But when he's dealing with you, he uses the strongest parts and picks you up on his shoulders and carries you. When you don't feel like you can go on any longer, he'll pick you up and carry you through. Amen. Romans chapter 6. We're going to try tonight to get to a spot that I've been trying to get to for the last two parts on this, on yield. We want to look at this thought again of yield, and I never have got to the place that I'm trying to get to from part one, but maybe tonight we'll get there with the help of the Lord.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne again tonight, Lord, we know there's many that would like to be here tonight, but they can't due to sickness and body or due to travels. But Lord, we just ask that you'd be with them tonight as well. Lord, touch those that are sick, heal their bodies. Lord, many with colds or the flu or fevers or coughs or different things this time of year, that the enemy's just going around trying to attack people's bodies any way he can. But Lord, we just ask that you'd go to each one tonight, that the prayer requests that were mentioned, heal each one, we pray, Lord, and be with those that are here. Lord, maybe some of them aren't feeling well. Lord, I know the enemy trying to attack Sister Sizemore when she came into church tonight. And Lord, Sister Patty, the enemy's been trying to fight her all week. But Lord, we just come, and all we know to do is just rebuke him in your name. Amen. Lord, we don't have any power of our own, but Lord, we do have authority in the name of Jesus and in the Word. And Lord, so we rebuke the enemy that would try to hinder these that are here tonight, Lord. And we just ask that you'd be with us. Lord, be with me especially. Help me to be able to do what I'm trying to preach tonight and just yield myself to you so that you could get me in a channel to where you could speak something that would go right down the line of things that people are struggling with or are dealing with in their lives, Father. Lord, not that so that we could go out of here and give glory to a man, but so that we could say, my, isn't God good to us? Isn't God good to us that he'd be that mindful to place that on a man's heart to say when only God knew really what we were dealing with. Lord, we give you the glory and the praise for those things. Lord, we just ask that you'd be in the continuation of the service. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the musicians. Thank you for each one, the deacons, the trustees, Lord. But thank you most of all for your presence.
Amen.
Lord, it's good to be in your presence. We thank you for a place where we can come together and worship. Lord, we recognize that we don't have to be in church to feel your presence, but there's something about it when there's so many licks of fire pulling on the gifts in the body, Lord, and coming with expectations and coming, Lord, to worship you. There's something about it. It just seems like it's just so easy to enter into your presence when we're all pulling together like that, Lord. And we thank you for a place we can come together and worship. And Lord, may it be that way till we take a step out of these bodies and this mortal puts on immortality, Lord. May we be able to continue to worship you like this in freedom and in peace, Lord. And we love you and we thank you for all things. Give us, Lord, each one what we have need of tonight. May we go out of here strengthened and encouraged, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. Amen. Paul here speaking to the Romans, he says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So we find that, you know, this goes back, it brings back many thoughts of many different things, and we could just stay right here all night, I guess. But I'm reminded of what Brother Branham said about the Indian chief and how he said that, you know, he had two dogs, a white dog and a black dog, since he'd been serving the Lord. And he said, well, which one wins? He said, well, they fight all the time. And he said, well, which one wins? He said, well, whichever one I feed the most. And so whichever one that we yield ourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. Brother Ram says in The Hour Is Come in 1951, he said, there's always two sides to it, you know. When Satan's on the job, Jesus is also. Ever who you yield your faith to, that's the way it's going. Give it to Christ. When we come into a service like this, Jesus promised that wherever two or three were gathered together in his name, that he'd be present in their midst. So we recognize that Jesus Christ is here tonight. Whether you can feel him tangibly, whether you can see him visibly or not, he's here in our midst because his word promised that he would be. But we also recognize in his word that when the sons of God come together to worship all the way back there in the days of Job, we found that Satan came right in amongst them. We found out that even before that, way back in eternity, when the morning stars sang together for joy, there came Satan right into their assembly. And so there's always going to be in any meeting, in any assembly, in any family, in any event where we go to, there's always going to be two atmospheres that are battling against one another. And Brother Branham tells us that we're either anointed from above or we're anointed from below. And so whenever there's a gathering of people, there's always a spiritual battle that Christ is trying to come in and do what he can do to help. And Satan is always right there. He's never tardy. You know, he's always right there, present to try to disrupt and try to hinder anything that Christ can do. So we find that whoever we yield ourselves to, that's who will get the victory over the situation. We can yield ourselves to doubt. We can yield ourselves to unbelief. Well, I just don't know. I don't know if God's word is just as powerful as it used to be or not. I don't know if it's for me. I don't know if I have enough faith. I don't know. I don't know. You can yield yourselves to that and go out of here just as sick as you came in, maybe sicker. Or you can yield yourselves to the word and say, I'm healed. It's a finished work at Calvary. It's over. He's a defeated foe. I have the victory in Jesus' name. Whatever we yield ourselves to, that's whose servants that we are. When you get up in the morning, you can yield yourself to that old temper or that old stubbornness or whatever it be that you deal with. You can yield yourself to that and go right through your day that way. Or you can stop and say, Lord, I need you to help me through this day. Lord, I need you to help me through these situations. I need you to give me the answers. I need you to give me the strength. I need you to give me the right kind of attitude. You ever have to stop and pray like that? Well, maybe I'm the only one, but you know, I sometimes have to just stop and say, Lord, I need your help. I need you to get Nathan Bryant out of the way so that you can come in and do something. Amen. We looked at this quote not last week, but 2 weeks ago when we was looking at this thought on questions and answers. Brother Branham says, they get into the flesh. He's talking about spirits. Talking about some of the demons that were there in Gadara and things like that that came and was tormenting Legion. He said they get into the flesh, but seemingly they are powerless until they can get into a person. They have to operate through a person, which brings us to another thought. That the Holy Spirit covers the earth, but it is almost helpless until it gets into you and me. God is depending on you and I. Now, as I said the last time that I read this quote, I'm glad that he said this. I'm glad that I didn't have to just get up on my own and say, hey, the Holy Spirit's almost helpless without you and me, because most people would have probably got scared and ran out the back door. But the prophet of God in this age tells us that the Holy Spirit is almost helpless until it can get into you and me, and that God is depending on you and me. God is looking. God is yearning. God is searching for somebody that he can get a hold of to do his will. Amen. Amen. All down through the scriptures. Brother Branham said he's always had somebody that could be a representative to him. He said sometimes we got down to just a handful of people in the dark ages and things. But he said he's always had somebody that he could get his hand on and use. Oh, tonight, if we as a church, if we as a body of believers could just yield ourselves so that Jesus Christ could get a hold of us and use us in the full capacity that he wants to. Oh, I believe it'd do more than revolutionize the church. I believe it'd do more than revolutionize our homes. But I believe that we would see saints of God going out and witnessing and bringing people back to church. And why? What would it be? Something on the inside of them that somebody out there was thirsting after. Amen. I believe it was Brother Hoover was telling me that when the Holy Spirit began to fall there, what was the school, Brother Hoover, that when they were praying for people in the college there, Asbury College that Brother Bam talks about. When the Holy Spirit began to move at Asbury College, people that were there witnessed it and testified and said that they'd be praying together in the chapel there for people. These are young teenage, early 20s, people in college. And they would begin to pray together for somebody that they had on their heart, and they'd agree together. Oh, remember so-and-so out here. My, let's agree together that the Lord will deal with them. And they begin to pray and to cry out to God for that person. And in a few minutes, that person would come running and hit the back door and run in and drop at the altar and begin to scream out and cry to God. Amen. That was a Methodist college, right? A Methodist college. Oh, my, what could he do tonight? If we would begin to cry out to God for those that we're concerned about. If we could yield to him, not so that we could beat somebody over the head with it, not so that we could say, hey, I'm right and you're wrong and I'm better than you because of this, that, or the other, but if we could get under such conviction and begin to pray and to cry out to God and let him use us as a vessel to where somebody could see something that they'd say, I've got to have what they've got. Jack Cole said when he came to the altar and he began to pray there, he said he didn't know he'd been raised in a Nazarene church. He didn't know how to say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. And he said, so when he got the Holy Ghost, he began to run around the building and say, hot dog, I got it. He didn't know how else to express it. But when he went home and his mother and his daddy began to make fun of him and say, oh, Jack, why do you want to go to church all the time? He said, when I wanted to go out to the hell holes and the bars and the bowling alleys and all that, you didn't care when I went night after night. But now that I want to go to church, you got a problem. And finally they said, look, something's got to change. Either we've got to change or he's got to go. And so his mom went down to the service that night, and he said before the service was over, she was at the altar saying, Lord, give me what Jack's got. Yes. Amen. What a testimony. Right. Oh, my, how wonderful it'd be to have somebody slip in the back door and come and run to the altar and say, Lord, give me what Brother Hoover's got. Lord, give me what Nathan's got. Give me what Jimmy's got. Give me what Steve's got. I've seen their life at work. I've seen their life out on the streets, and I got to have what they've got. I'm lacking what they've got. Oh, if he can do it in a Methodist college, I believe he can still do it. But he's depending on you and I. He's waiting on somebody to lay aside our laziness and our lukewarmness and set aside our remote controls for a little while. Or you know, oh, Brother Nathan, I don't have a TV. Okay, lay aside your computer mouse for a little while. Get off of YouTube or the news channels or whatever it is for just a little while and spend some time yielding to him. Lay aside some of the things that take up so much of our time and yield to him and see what a difference it'll make. Start our day off and say, Lord, where could you use me? How could I be about the Father's business? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to say? Lord, who could I come into contact with that today could be the day that changes their life? Oh, you say, but Brother Nathan, you know, it's not Sunday or it's not Wednesday. It's just an old Thursday or a Monday. Hey, God can change lives on Monday just as much as he can on Sundays. Me and a brother was talking the other night how, you know, it seems like historically, seems like the move of God seem like they happen more on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And I'm not sure why that is. God's just as much God on Sunday morning as he is on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. But I'm not sure if it's because we've got some of the people that just want to have Sunday morning religion on Sunday mornings and it's harder for the Spirit to move. Or if it's because some of you Wednesday night and Sunday night people are more afraid to let loose because they're here. I don't know which it is. But I know that God is just as much God on Sunday morning as he is at Sunday night and Wednesday night. And he can save souls. And he can. I wonder sometimes if it's that we're so worried about our lunch plans and things like that after Sunday morning service that we think, well, I'd go to the altar, but I don't want to. I've got to meet so-and-so for lunch, and I don't want to interrupt that. God's depending on you and I. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday. If you're just living a Sunday, Wednesday Christian life or a Sunday, Wednesday message life, my, you're missing out on so much. Amen. He's also the God of Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Amen. He can still move. He can still change lives on those days as well. Brother Ram says the Holy Spirit, the earth is full of the Spirit of God, but it's poured out. It cannot operate until it comes into us, we human beings, to operate. Amen. He's looking for somebody. I'm going to just have to skip ahead a little bit here, and we'll maybe come back to that. But I'll go ahead and read this one because it's kind of fitting as well. Brother Bram said, made me feel a little bit better. You know, Brother Hoover, sometimes I'll go way out on this tangent, way off here for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, and somebody will think, be sitting out there thinking he's never going to come back around to where he was. But Brother Branham said, El Shaddai, 1960, said, someone said to me not long ago, said, Brother Branham said, you never stay with your text. You ought to stay on the highway. I said, everybody I preach to don't live on the highway. I have to go down the lane sometime to pick up one down here somewhere. So I have to get off on somewhere else just where he leads me. Just where he leads me. Oh, that's what I want tonight. Lord, whatever you lead me. Oh, maybe I'll be going down the line of thought and maybe everybody excited. And then all of a sudden something, Lord, just lead me or Brother Trevor, Brother Hoover, whoever it is, way off into left field somewhere. And you think, what on earth did that have to do with the service? And somebody's sitting back there just grabbing a hold of the bottom of the pew, trying not to run all over the church because they know it was something they needed to hear. Oh, my. Brother Branham tells this. He says, the sudden secret going away of the church in 1958, he says, you see, God does work through the pastor to get his church ready. He works through the songs to get his church ready. And he works through you to get his church ready. He works through you to get his church ready. There's many times before there's ever a key struck on the piano or the organ, before Brother Furman ever gets up here and opens a songbook and begins to sing one word, there's many times we can already have a worship before any of that ever takes place. Brother Branham said that, he said, hearing the word, he said, that's, you go back and look it up in the Hebrew series, he said, hearing the word, hearing a good message or a good sermon, he said, that's wonderful, but he said, that's not the main thing. Quiet in here tonight. He said, that's not the main thing. He said, that's not why we come to church. He said, we come to church to worship.
Right.
We come to church to worship. And he said, and worship is not just church. He said, when you go on your job and you witness to somebody, that's a worship. When you go out here and you help somebody, that's a worship. Amen. So I'm not a Sabbatarian. I don't believe in just worshiping one day a week. I believe we should worship every day of the week.
Amen.
And he does work through the song leader. And he does work through the pastor. And we thank God that we go to a church where we can recognize that. And where we can see the gifts of God moving in the body. And we can see the ministerial gifts and the 9 spiritual gifts beginning to be active in the body. And where we've got anointed musicians and anointed singers. And I thank God we go to a church like that. And where people can embrace that and be blessed by that. But you know what? Don't leave him on the platform.
Amen.
He works through you to get his church ready too.
Don't
just leave God up here on the platform, but when you come in the back door there, when you're still out in the parking lot and you see that person dragging in like they just lost their best friend, you can do something that's a part of worship before you ever step one foot in this door and go over and encourage them and tell them, look, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm praying for you. I don't know what your situation is, but God does, and he cares about you and he loves you, and you can already have a little bit of church before there's ever one note struck on the instrument. He works through you to get his church ready. He says again in the same sermon, what if I would speak of the time of little Stephen? Not a prophet, not a pastor, just a member of the body of Christ. My, can you imagine? Brother Branham spoke so highly of this man. He said, oh, many times he calls him Stevens, plural, with an S, Stevens. He said, think of little Stevens down there. How that God could get a hold of a man like that and use him. How that God could get a hold of a man and operate through him. He wasn't a pastor, he wasn't a prophet, but yet he comes down, he begins to testify of the goodness of God in his life, and God uses him in such a mighty way that demons hated this man. Demon spirits hated this man. Oh, you say, well, it was the people that hated him. Oh, it wasn't the people that hated this man. It was those spirits that was upon him. Nobody in their right mind would hate somebody so bad they'd want to gnash on him with their teeth. You talk about a temper. You talk about an anger. Oh, getting so upset at somebody. Maybe you've been upset at somebody that got to arguing with you in the parking lot at Doctrine. But I hope none of you have ever said, you know what? I'm so mad. Just give me this arm. and begin to gnash on them with your teeth, it's, oh, that's demon possession. And these people were so possessed by these spirits, a religious spirit on them. They weren't out here drunk in the alley. They weren't out here with needles in their veins, Pharisees and Sadducees and religious people, but so consumed with the religious spirit that when a man began to get up and speak something contrary to the way they had been taught, even though it was absolutely by the scripture, they got so mad, they began to try to bite this man and began to get stones. Oh, you better be careful out in Home Depot and Walmart. It might start coming to that. Bless God, that's not what we've been taught. People's always scared of the zombie apocalypse and stuff. Oh, that's just demon spirits on people is what it is. There ain't no such thing as a zombie, but there is such thing as a demon spirit.
Amen.
Gnashing at him with their teeth. He wasn't the prophet of the age. He wasn't the pastor of the local church. Just a good, godly member of the local body of Jesus Christ. And he gets out there and he starts testifying in such a way that it begins to convict these men. They go out and take stones and begin to stone him. And he dies crying the same words that Jesus did. Father, forgive them. Lay not this sin at their charge. So full of the Holy Spirit. Somebody can't hardly talk bad about us, but we're ready to rile back and we're ready to go roll up our sleeves and settle the account. And they were killing this man. They didn't just talk bad about his uncle or his grandma or his church or his pastor. They were killing this man. And he looked up and he said, Lord, don't lay it to their charge. I wonder how many times we'd be so much better off when somebody begins to talk evil about us. Just not even enter into it and argue and fuss and debate them, but just walk away and say, Lord, don't lay that to their charge. They don't even realize what spirit was anointing them to say that. Brother Branham says, in Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's talking about, still about Legion. He said, when that demon got close to the Lord Jesus Christ, he recognized who it was. Don't say they don't recognize you. They do. Now, wait a minute. He said they recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, but now he's saying, don't say they don't recognize you. They do. You, now remember Brother Hoover's definition of you is not just the pastor or not just one individual out in the congregation. We're not just picking on Brother Arnie or Brother Joel tonight or Brother Gary. We're not pointing somebody out. When the scriptures of the message says you, it's talking about everybody that's sitting here. If we'll be able to put our name in there. Don't say they don't recognize you. They do. You believe devils recognize Christians? Certainly. Well, the scriptures, I believe someplace says that the devils tremble when the weakest of saints goes to their knees. The demons tremble. You remember when those seven sons of Sceva tried to cast out that demon-possessed man and he leapt on him and he cast him out, ran him out of the city naked and embarrassed? But before he did that, he said, now Jesus I know and Paul I know. But he said, who are you? He recognized they didn't have any authority. They were trying to copy what somebody else did. It wasn't what they were called to do. But he recognized that there was a power in Jesus Christ and there was an authority under a man named Paul. And these demon spirits recognized their names. And Brother Branham brings it down to our age and he says that devils recognize Christians and that devils tremble when the weakest of saints goes to their knees. Man. No wonder Satan tries to steal our prayer life any way that he can.
That's it.
No wonder. Oh my, if there was something in your life that made you tremble. If there was something that you was afraid of. If some phobia or whatever it was. You would take precautions. If you was had arachnophobia and was scared to death of spiders. You wouldn't just, you know, go and wander out into the deep woods and where the cobwebs and the spider webs and things are. But no doubt you would have the Orkin man or somebody come and spray all around your house multiple times a year. And you'd be having all kinds of things set up to where if one came, you could get a fly swatter or a shoe or something and get one. You would take precautions. Because of something that you were afraid of that made you tremble, you would take precautions not to get in a scenario where you had to deal with that. And so the devil, what makes him tremble, isn't just the prophet, isn't just the pastor, isn't just the most faithful deacon in the church or the most talented singer in the church. What makes him tremble is the weakest Christian. Now you can look around and try to figure out who that is tonight. Maybe it's the youngest one. Maybe it's the oldest one. Maybe it's the one that's so busy with their work schedule that they haven't had time to pray as much as they'd like. I don't know who the weakest Christian is in here tonight. Maybe it's me. I don't know. But I know that a prophet of God said that when the weakest of saints goes to their knees, demons begin to have a nervous upset. They begin to shake and to tremble and to go into all kinds of convulsions. No wonder they want to try to prevent that. No wonder they want to get their spiritual Orkin men out and spray all around your house and try to keep you busy and everything that can go wrong to keep your schedule busy and everything that can break to try to make you work overtime to have to pay for all those things and everything that can upset in the family and everything that can go wrong in the church and everything that can get you all worked up and upset and everything around the message that can raise your blood pressure and get you so mad you don't hardly feel like praying and everything that can go wrong to capture your attention, and every time you get down and begin to kneel and pray, one of the kids runs in and the other one got hit in the eye because they did this and they did that, and mommy come fix it and daddy come do this. You think, sorry Lord, I'll be right back. You go and you deal with that. You do a little discipline and some lining out and some threats to keep them still for a little bit, and you come back in, you kneel down, the phone begins to ring. You think, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I probably should have put that on silence, but let me just check, Lord. It might be an emergency. It might be somebody in a car wreck, or it might be one of the family that's got an emergency. And you look, and oh, it's Sister so-and-so, and she wants to talk for 45 minutes about how terrible her day has been. And then you get off the phone with that, and sorry, Lord, let me get back to this. And then the phone begins to vibrate again. Somebody's a text message, and oh, my, can you help me with this, or can you do that, or can you pray about this? And, well, Lord, it's a prayer request, so let me look at that one. And then before you know it, there's a knock at the door and Amazon's delivering a package. And anybody have days like those? Amen. Why is it? Because demons don't like to tremble. And they'll do anything they can to upset, to keep you from yielding to Lord. I got to have some time with you. Yeah. And the enemy has done everything he can to rob me of it. Every time I try to kneel down, I'm right back up in five more minutes because something else has interrupted me. But Lord, I'm turning off the cell phone. I'm shutting the door. I'm dimming the lights. I'm doing whatever I got to do. I've got to spend some time with you. And then if we're not careful, by then, 5 minutes in, come on. Lord, I'm so tired from all those other things that distracted me all day.
Come on. Help us, Lord.
Of course Satan wants to do that. Of course Satan wants to hinder. Of course he wants to prevent this from happening. Because the weakest of Christians. Maybe you came in tonight. Maybe you didn't feel worthy. Oh, I don't even feel worthy to go to church, Brother Nathan. Hey, nobody's worthy of any of these things.
All right.
Nobody's worthy of what Jesus Christ came and did to us, did for us. I'm not worthy. I'll be the first to admit. I'm not worthy of his grace.
All right.
I'm not worthy of his mercy. But you know what? I can't find anywhere in here where he told me a list of things that I got to do to be worthy. He came and clothed me in his righteousness. And it's his worthiness. And it's his righteousness. And so now he tells us he took our filthy rags and he traded them for a brand new robe of righteousness. And he tells us you can boldly approach the throne of God. Didn't say come in, drag in like you're the redheaded stepchild and say, well, Lord, I know you're probably busy with everybody else and I don't deserve this, but Lord, just a crumb from the table. No, he didn't tell us to come that way. He said, boldly come before the throne of God.
Amen.
Demons don't like that. But with this realization that we have, may it be more than a quote to you tonight. May it be more than a church service to you tonight, but may it be a culture shock to our lives to wake us up and realize, Lord, I got to spend more time with you. I got to spend more time on my knees. If you didn't call me to do anything else, Lord, maybe you just put me here on this earth to make demons a nervous wreck.
Amen.
I can do that even if I'm the weakest. I can do that even if I'm the smallest. Even if I'm the youngest. Even if I'm the oldest and most feeble. I can do that.
Amen.
And I have a quote to back it up. The devils tremble when the weakest of saints go to their knees. He said, what power, what a power and a privilege has been given to the church of the living God. When you fall to your knees in prayer, even the devils tremble to the weakest of them. Think of it. What a power and a privilege. I don't know about you, but the next time I get down to pray, I want to say, Lord, what a power and a privilege this is. What a power and a privilege to be able to talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, when we were in D.C., we went by his house, but we didn't get to see Mr. Trump and shake his hand. We didn't get to see the president. But, you know, if he would have been walking through the hall and said, hello, you know, nice to see you, and I spoke to him and told him who I was. He said, oh, you're a pastor in New Albany, Indiana. Let me bring you over here into a side room and talk to you. And I could have his ear for a few moments. I would think, oh, what a power and a privilege to have 10 minutes with the president. Maybe try to influence something that he could do for the greater good or whatever it be. What a power and a privilege that was. But, you know, I don't have to wait for an invitation. I don't have to get scheduled in. I don't have to be put on call waiting and listen to somebody say, press 1 for English or 2 for Spanish or 3 for French or whatever it is. I can just call him up anytime I want, Sister Jeannie. Say, Lord, you know what the day's been, but what a power and a privilege to be able to take my troubles to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't mean to make fun of the Catholics tonight. I hope you don't take it that way, but we don't have to run it through an errand boy.
Nope.
We don't have to go through some secretary or ask his mother or somebody like that. If they tell him when they get a chance and see him, we can go direct to the main man.
Right.
Say, Lord, I've got needs. I've got troubles. I've got family members that need you. What a power and a privilege to be able to talk to him like that.
Amen.
You know, Moses, as we looked at his life a little bit on Sunday and how that he was called and yet he ran from it, you know, and then God finally got him out there on the backside of the desert and he recognized that it was a scriptural voice that was speaking to him. And even in all of his reluctancy and all of his, well, Lord, I'm not qualified and I don't have all the talents and things yet. We find that when God calls a man, he equips him. Maybe we don't feel equipped at the time, but as time goes by, we recognize, Lord, I don't know how you did it, but you equipped me for whatever it is that you called me to. And Moses, through all of his wandering about in the wilderness there and hiding out on the backside of the desert for 40 years from Pharaoh, through all of that, yet there was something about it. There was a call of God down on the inside of his life. And when he recognized that this voice speaking to him from the pillar of fire was a scriptural voice, he begins to yield to that gift in his life. And he goes down with the staff in his hand and his wife and his children following behind him on a donkey. And he goes down to Egypt to take over a one-man invasion. And here he goes, reluctant as he is, and he walks out there, and maybe he didn't have it all figured out. I don't think God showed him every little thing that was going to be, because God doesn't do that. He doesn't explain everything to us, and he doesn't lay out a blueprint and say, now look, Nathan, here's what's going to, I know this part of your life is going to be difficult, and there's going to be some bumps and trials and things, but that's just to prepare you for, look over here at page B, column C, addendum E, and when you hit this spot, you're going to have need to go through all of this, and it's preparing you for when you get here, or you wouldn't be able to overcome these obstacles, and I'm going to place things in your life that's going to be able to help you and guide you, and I'm going to lead you with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to place people around you that when you're stubborn and when you think you know it
all. They're going to smack you upside the head every once in a while and remind you that you don't have it all figured out. I'm going to do all these things. And so when you get over here, you'll have a little bit of sickness in your life. And the doctors might say it looks really bad. But by the time you get over to here, it's all going to be okay. So don't worry about that. He doesn't lay out a blueprint for us like that. He didn't do it for Moses. He didn't do it for Brother Branham. Brother Branham said God doesn't show his prophets everything. He just shows them what they need to see. And so Moses goes out here, maybe not knowing exactly how everything will take place. And he gets there and he's got the staff in his hand. He's got two vindications. And he gets out there and he does these before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, come here, Janice. Come here, Jambres. This guy thinks he's something. Show him what you can do, fellas. And they imitate the gift. And then he comes with plagues that God speaks through him and does all kinds of plagues and signs and wonders. And Pharaoh says, come on, boys, show him how you can turn water to blood too. And they could do it. That's the amazing thing. They could do it. But there was one thing they couldn't do. They couldn't heal the water once they turned it into blood. And they could call the frogs out of the ponds just like Moses could. But when it came to speaking things into existence that weren't there, they couldn't do what Moses did. And yet with all of this, Pharaoh, time after time, Moses comes with a new plague, a new sign, a new wonder, a new vindication. And he doesn't say, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. You know, I had told the people that if I could just have scientific proof of vindication of your ministry, that I would believe. I had told the people that if I could just find a little more proof and a little more evidence that your God was real, that, hey, I'd follow you too. Every time. He didn't say that. God hardened his heart more and more and more. And he'd say, okay, I'll let your people go if you'll just take this plague away. And Moses would say, okay, about this time tomorrow, the plague will be gone. Frogs and fleas and everything everywhere. Frogs in their beds and in their dishpans and in their cupboards. And then right about the time Moses said that day, all the frogs just disappeared. Somebody said, oh, if I could just see 16 death certificates, I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. If you've got to see 16 death certificates to believe, you're not going to believe when everything else that's taken place that could take place has happened and you still don't believe. Sister Debbie Pierce's mom was there in the tabernacle the day that Brother Branham preached the church ages and he had drawn them up on the board. And then they come back that evening. Brother Branham preaches the 144,000 and the foolish virgins. They come out there. They sit in the service. And at the end of the service, you can hear on the tape, there's a little bit of a commotion near the back of the church. And Brother Branham says, now, you're seeing the reflection back there. But he said, I'm seeing two lights. It's up here. But that on the back wall is just a reflection of what's up here. Oh my. Brother Collins saw it. Different ones saw it. And a supernatural on the black light on the back wall began to change. Time after time to each one of the ones that he had drawn on the blackboard. And then the Pope comes and visits Israel. And there's an eclipse. And they take pictures of it with their great cameras. Picture after picture after picture. And it matches exactly. Boom, boom, boom. All the church ages that he had drawn out on the board. If you can't believe that, I don't know about you. That's a whole lot more proof to me than 16 death certificates.
Amen.
Pharaoh wasn't going to believe no matter what Moses did. But finally, when it comes and it affects his own home and his own family and his own child laying there dead because he disobeyed the voice of the Lord, he gets to a place where he says, I don't know what to do with this guy. I don't know what to do with him. I've tried everything I can think of, and I don't know what to do with him. And now my son's laying there dead, and he said, you guys just take your family and take your cattle, take your children, take your oxen, take everything, and just get away from me.
Right.
Brother Branham picks up on this thought, and by faith, Moses. And he says, I'm so glad that a man can live so close to God till the devil don't know what to do with him. I'm so glad that a man can live so close to God till the devil don't know what to do with him. Oh, maybe you've been through trials and tribulations. You know, I've had people tell me, oh, every time I get closer to God, seems like something terrible happens. And then, you know, then I get through that trial and then there's a new temptation and then I get victory over that. And then there's a new trial and on and on and on. Hey, you're going to get to a spot one day where the devil don't know what to do with you. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried drugs, I've tried alcohol, I've tried nicotine, I've tried lust, I've tried temper, I've tried stubbornness, I've tried his memory, I've tried his imagination, I've tried everything I can think of. Right. And there's a spot you get to where the devil says, I don't know what to do with him. Right. Now that didn't end the trials for the Israelites. Pharaoh got tired of that and he still came after him. Right. Don't mean you'll never have a trial. Don't mean you'll never have a temptation. But you can get to a spot where the devil's pulling his hair out over you. Because he's tried so many things. And every time he does, you just yield and say, Lord, I need your help again. This is a new battle. I don't know. This is different terrain than I'm used to. I feel like I got victory over that last thing, Lord. And now Satan's throwing this at me. This is a new trial, a new situation, a new upset in the family, or a new something rise up around the message or whatever it is. Lord, I need your wisdom to guide me through this one again. All right. And demons trembling because you're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. About what to do about it. Instead of getting upset and frustrated, kicking the dog and kicking the cat and kicking the door, you go to your knees and you say, Lord, I need you. I need you. And the devil gets so frustrated with that, he don't know what to do with it. It wasn't so from the beginning, 1960. Brother Bram says, I've said, if you can only yield yourself. He said, what did that woman did that he touched his garment? She knowed how to yield herself. She touched him by yielding herself. He's talking about the woman that touched the hem of his garment. Now, it had nothing to do with the physical touch of his garment. You've heard Brother Branham preach enough to recognize that. He said that outer robe of the Israelites, that there was no way he could feel that physical touch with all those layers and things and how it was the swelling garment, you know, off of his body. She just reaches out and just touches the hem in the crowd. She fights her way through, and maybe disciples pushing her this way and sicker people pushing her that way, trying to get there and this one and that one. And she got jostled all around. She'd get almost to him, Brother Hoover, and somebody else would knock her out of the way. And she didn't say, well, I guess it's just not for me. I guess I just don't have enough faith. She said, Lord, if I could just touch the hem of your garment. And she gets closer in the crowd, and here comes a guy on a donkey, and the thing just swings up against her and knocks her down in the dust, and people walk on by her, and she gets up and brushes herself off. She says, oh, I almost made it that time. She reaches through, and finally she reaches around somebody and through the crowd, and she touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus maybe just kind of stumbles as he's walking in the crowd, and he looks around, tries to get his attention, and rubs his face, maybe like Brother Branham, you see him on the films when he's really feeling the Spirit. He said his face would get numb. He looks around through the crowd and he said, who touched me? Peter said, Lord, there's people all around you in this crowd. My, there's donkeys and children and Sadducees and Pharisees and lepers and cripples and people trying to pack dead babies and lay them in your hands and everything. And you said, who touched you? He said, no, Peter. No, you're still earthbound. You're still thinking physical touch. He said, I'm not talking about that. He said, virtue. Yes. Virtue went from me. Man. This wasn't just some physical touch. Brother Bram said, how did she do that? By yielding herself. Man. By yielding herself and saying, Lord, if I can just reach you, I know it's going to be okay. Man. Oh, if we could just yield tonight. Lord, if I could just reach out. I don't need to have his physical robe. I don't need to have one of the nails that they claimed to have that was in his body. I don't need to touch the crown of thorns that he bled on from his brow. But if I can just reach out and touch the hem of his garment supernaturally tonight, I know it'll be okay. I know it'll be all right. Whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm going through, whatever the obstacle, whatever the family situation, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, how are you going to do it? By yielding yourself. By yielding yourself. Lord, whatever it takes, I'm going to touch the hem of your garment. I'm going to reach through and I'm going to touch the throne of God tonight. Amen. Brother Ram says in The Maniac of Gadara in 1954, he says, you can completely submit yourself to the Holy Ghost and no affliction can hold you. You walk by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are well. You give your testimony, everything else. You're healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. You that's sinful, that maybe drink and smoke and gamble and do things like that, you'd say, I can't give them up, Brother Branham. Yes, you can. You just submit yourself to God one time. And just yield your whole self to God and watch what takes place. You say, Brother Nathan, I have tried and I have tried. And I've got things in my life I just can't overcome. I just can't give up. I can't get past. I can't be on. I've tried everything I know how to try. Stop trying and just yield to Him. Stop trying and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't do it. I've tried. I've tried to educate myself into it. I've tried emotionally to work myself up into something. I've tried in my mind to intellectually accept it. And I've read your word and I've visualized it. And I've repeated it and I've spoken it out loud. I've tried to claim it for myself. But there's something about it. It just seems like I can't wrap my mind around it. I can't reach out and get the deliverance that I'm needing. I've tried this and I've tried that. And I've gone through these emotions and I've did these works. Just submit yourself to God.
Yes, Lord.
Say, Lord, this thing's bigger than me, but it ain't bigger than you.
Amen.
This trial, this sickness, this upset, this trouble, this family member I'm praying for, whatever it is, it's bigger than me. Lord, I've done all that I can do. But it's not bigger than you. This temptation, this addiction, it's bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you, Lord. Yield yourself to Him one time, he said, and watch what takes place. That's the whole thing. There's no secret in it. It's not a hocus pocus. The only thing it is submit yourself to God. Amen. There it is. And then it's not you any longer. It's the Lord. We try to have some formula, some steps that we can take. Abracadabra and 1, 2, 3, ABC. And he said, it's not hocus pocus. It's not some formula. It's not some ritual. It's submit yourselves to God. He says again in Thirsting for Life in 1957, he said, it's yielding. If you only knew how to yield, what is in you will operate. If you only knew how to yield, what is in you will operate. But the secret of it is, and he says it's not a secret, it's just the plain truth of the Bible to yielding to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Brother Stephen mentioned in his prayer, he's mentioned to me a few times lately how he's enjoyed the services over the last few months. And you know the only way that's possible? You know the only way that these brothers, you know, sometimes we get up and we preach our hearts out and the devil would like to come in and say, it'll never be any better than that. There'll never be a service better than that. You'll never preach harder than that. You'll never be more under the inspiration than that. You'll never come up with a better sermon than that. You'll never, that quote you read, you'll never find a quote like that that you could read again. Or that scripture that you brought, there's nothing so anointed you could do as that again. Or some of you singers, maybe you sing a song and the Holy Spirit just moves on you. And you think, that was more than just me singing. I really got under the anointing. And the devil come and tell you, you might as well forget it. You'll never sing that song that good again. Or you'll never get under that anointing again. Or you'll never do this, you never do that. But we say, boo, devil.
Amen.
And you just go back and you yield to whatever it is that's in you. And then God can use it. And you say, I don't have a gift to sing. I don't have a gift to preach. You've got something. You've got something. There's not anybody in here. I don't care. You may feel like the least talented person in the world. You can do something. I don't think we have any deaf mutes in the crowd tonight, so you can speak, you can witness, you can encourage somebody. You can go out and you can tell somebody, hey, God has been so good to me. I don't deserve it, but he has been so good to me. And you might have more impact on somebody than my sermon tonight is having. Just by something so simple as that, if you could yield yourself to God and let him use whatever it is.
Amen.
You say, I've got a quirky personality, Brother Nathan. Let him use that quirky personality to get to somebody else that nobody else could reach. You say, oh, I've got all kinds of character flaws and things, Brother Nathan. Hey, have you read your Bible lately? So did all these men that we talk about except for one. There's only one man in this whole book that didn't have a character flaw, and his name was Jesus. But God would take human clay and he would look past their weaknesses and past their character flaws, and he would use those men.
Amen.
How could he do it? By them yielding to the Holy Spirit in their life. You say, oh, what about the Old Testament, Brother Nathan? It was still the Holy Spirit leading and guiding those men. The Bible said, we just read Peter say it Sunday morning, that it was the Holy Spirit that moved upon men of old to write the scriptures. It was still the Holy Spirit anointing them. They just didn't have him living down on the inside of him like we have the opportunity to today. And you go back and read the Old Testament and see. I still believe the Old Testament too.
Amen.
Jesus didn't throw away the Old Testament. He came and magnified it. I don't know, there's some things in Levitical law. We don't still do sacrifices and we don't still take people out and stone them. But there's a lot of Levitical law that we still do. We still believe that thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not commit adultery and thou shalt not bear false witness and all these things. There's still a lot of the Old Testament that we're still fulfilling right today.
Amen.
He didn't come and throw it away. He just magnified it.
Right.
Amen. If we could just yield to him. It takes a vessel, somebody that can yield and let God use whatever that is in their life. Maybe you've got a kind of an outgoing, charismatic personality that you just never met a stranger. You realize God can use that for his glory? Brother Hoover's one of these guys, he can knock on anybody's door. Oh, if he could have just been a Jehovah's Witness, he would have probably missionaried the whole world. They would have loved to have got David Hoover. He can do that. It's hard for me to do that. I thank God I didn't see what the Jehovah's Witnesses saw, because it had been hard for me just to go knock on. I can't sell candy bars door to door, let alone talk to somebody about Jesus like that. It's hard for me to do that because I know I'm the other guy on the side of the door, and I know I don't want whatever they're selling automatically. I don't want to. No thanks. No soliciting. No, none of that. I don't, you know. It is. Brother Hoover said it's a gift. And he's got that one. I don't. But he gets his foot in people's houses that I would never get in. God can use him to be a witness in that way. Maybe I'd run out to somebody on the street or at the gas station or something and get to talking to him like that. But God didn't call me to go around and knock on people's doors. But he places gifts in people's lives. He places things in people's lives, qualities, the outgoings and different things like that in your life, your personality things, where he can use that to get somebody's attention. He says again, and then Jesus came and called. 1957, and then Jesus came. It's yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit, not to create a bunch of fanaticism, but to create a solid gospel that rests right here on God's eternal word, and God is obligated to back up his word.
Amen.
We don't have to work anything up. We don't have to pretend to be something that we're not. We don't have to put on a bunch of phony baloney of, oh, look at me, I'm this and I'm that. The scripture doesn't ask us to do that. He said, not a bunch of fanaticism, we don't have to create some new something to get people's attention that, oh my, if we don't come up with something new, oh my, we're just going to lose people. Well, I don't have anything new to share you, but I can sure keep pointing you back to some things that are pretty exciting, even though they aren't new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. So when somebody says they've come up with something new, you can just realize what that is speaking. Not something new, not some fanaticism, but to create a solid gospel that rests right here on God's eternal word. You don't have to outdo somebody else. You don't have to outrun or outjump or outdo anything of anybody else. You don't have to put anything on and pretend to be well, Brother Hoover does it this way, so I'll just pretend to be like him. That's a Pharisee, an actor.
Amen.
Pretending to be something that you're not. Remember, Brother Bram talks about Congressman Upshaw. He says, you can't be something that you ain't. Brother Bram said that woman, the Pentecostal preacher, brought his wife to him and said, oh, Brother Bram said, I want you to meet my wife. She's a saint. He said, look more like a haint to me. Can't be something that you haint, see. I don't want to be a haint. I don't want to pretend to be something that I'm not. I've got to be what God calls me to do. Oh, many times it'd be easier, you know, just go with the flow and just do what everybody else does. But God didn't call me to do that. God didn't call you to do that. He didn't call you to be a carbon copy of somebody else. He called you to yield to Him.
Amen.
And when you recognize God doing something and stirring something in your heart, you say you slowed down tonight, Brother Nathan. Are you wearing out on us, or you're losing your voice? No, I'm yielding. I'm yielding because I feel like God's using somebody or trying to use somebody, and I'm trying to get their attention. I don't know who it is, but God's trying to get their attention. That whatever it is that God is dealing with you on, whatever God is calling you to, not because somebody says it's popular or not because it's going to be easy, but because you see it in the Word. And then you look in your life and you look in your personality and you look in the way that God deals with you and you say, Lord, I feel like you're dealing with me and you're calling me to that. Then just yield to that. Brother Branham said the best way to know if you're called to do something or not is whether you can do it or not. That's pretty simple. Some of you were not called to be a song leader or a special singer. How do we know? Just what Brother Branham said, whether you can do it or not. If you get up and the dogs and the cats next door start to crying and howling and things like that, well, no. Hey, that's just not their calling. That's okay. Yield to something else.
Amen.
God places things in our lives, and then you yield to that, whatever it is. God has encouragers. He has helpers. God has people that are good at reconciling people, that are good mediators. And He has people that have wisdom, that they can look at a situation, maybe somebody else frantic and beating their head against the wall, and they can look at it and say, now just take a step back and consider this. And God can use them in that way. They don't have to be a pastor or a prophet. God's still using them. They're yielding to what God has placed in their life. Investments, 1963. Brother Bram said, God is trying to get somebody through the sanctifying power of Christ to yield to that Word. That He and the Word can become one again, then He can use the Word through that person. You believe that tonight?
Yes, sir.
He's trying to get somebody to yield to Him, that He and the Word can become one again, and then He can use His Word through that person. He can use the Word through you. You say, but I'm just insignificant, Brother Nathan. I'm just humble. I'm just this. I'm just that. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not. Hey, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about God using his word through human clay. That doesn't have to be behind a pulpit. It doesn't have to be up on a stage. It doesn't have to be something where 5,000 people see it. It can be in a corner in an alley. It can be on an aisle in Walmart. It can be in a cubicle at your job. And God can use you. God can use His Word through you. As I was sharing the testimony there Sunday night, I didn't plan all that out the way it was supposed to happen. God orchestrating different things through the day and things like that. But I do believe that God spoke His Word through me to a couple of individuals that He led me to that day, not because I had planned it, not because I was some great something, not because I had put it on my schedule, but because God still uses anybody that will yield themselves to Him.
Amen.
He says again in Fundamental Foundation for Faith in 1955, he says, we're only instruments that the revelation of God can be brought forth. Through our lips, as the Holy Spirit speaks, as we yield ourselves to Him. We're instruments that the Holy Spirit can speak through our lips as the Holy Spirit speaks, as we yield ourselves to Him. If you yield, He'll speak. The problem is, many times we want to speak instead of yielding. We want to do the speaking. We want to do the talking. Here, give me that thing and let me give somebody a piece of my mind. That's how we are many times. Just let me take care of the situation. I'll straighten it out. I'll handle it. No, that's you talking. You know, I've lived long enough, and my wife and some of you have been around long enough. You can tell when it's Nathan Bryant talking and when it's the Holy Spirit talking. I can tell. I can tell when it's, well, bless God, let me roll up my sleeves and I'll take care of this. And when it's the Holy Spirit stepping in and saying, just say this to Him. Just say this to Him. And I think, Lord, how is that going to help? Just let me give Him a piece of my fist or a piece of my mind or a piece of something. He says, no, don't go about it that way. Just do this. All right, Lord, You know better than me. Yielding to Him. Letting Him speak. Oh, it's easy for us to speak. You say, oh, I'm not a person of many words. Oh, you get riled up enough, we'll see how few of words you are. You get mad enough about a situation, you get frustrated enough, we'll find out real quick, people have more words than you think sometimes. It's not that we have such a hard time with words. It's many times that we should just keep our mouth shut and yield and wait for Him and let Him do the speaking. We'd be so much better off. It solved a lot of family problems. It solved a lot of church problems. It solved a lot of personality conflicts if we just let Him do the talking. I'm at a crossroads here, and it has to do with your time. So, you pray for me. I still haven't got where I've been trying to get to for 3 services, and I'm afraid if I go there, it'll be too long. Musicians, just come tonight. You say, did you just yield to yourself, Brother Nathan, or the Holy Spirit? I probably yielded to about 90% of the congregation is what I yielded to right there. But we'll have another Wednesday night. I don't want to wear you out. Oh, if we could just yield to Him. It's absolutely unimaginable what we could do if we would just yield to Him. Philip and Rebecca and I were, actually Nathaniel was doing it with us too. Last night we were going through the church age book there, reading it along with the lessons that Brother Trevor has us doing, and we're a little bit behind, but we're trying to catch up before he gets back in town. And I read a quote there where Brother Branham was talking about the greater works. And he made a statement. I'm trying to remember it, but I don't want to quote it just off the top of my head, so I might try to search it here real quick. He was talking about the bride. And he made the statement that if we could just, he didn't say the word yield, he used another word, but if we could just get to that spot where God could use us and work through us, and where we could recognize the Word and the place that it plays in our life, that we would do the greater works. I'm not talking about over there where he says an invincible army, that she'd be an invincible army, but there's another place there in the church age book where he says we could do the greater works if we would just recognize that. Well, you think about it. My, as I said recently, if we could just do the works, if we could just do the works, what would it be? The place that the things that Jesus did and to see the works that He did living through the church, what an amazing thing that would be, just to do the works. But Brother Branham says many different times that the bride is going to do the greater works. Now, I know that's hard for people to wrap their mind around in this age. But yeah, here it is from Revelation of Jesus Christ in the church age book. He said, oh, if the church could only get a fresh revelation and become by it the living Word manifested, we would do the greater works and glorify God our Father in heaven.
Amen.
If we could only get a fresh revelation and become by it, not some puffed up theologian, not some know-it-all, not some, hey, I've got it all figured out, Brother Hoover and these other guys don't know what they're talking about, but by it, by this revelation, what would we become? The living Word manifested. And then we would do the greater works and glorify who? Ourselves, Brother Branham, the pastor, glorify God our Father in heaven. You see, He gets all the glory. That's the wonderful thing, one of the many wonderful things I'll say about yielding is when we can really yield to Him and we can recognize that it's Him doing the works, then it takes us out of it. Takes Nathan Bryant, takes Lee Pierce, takes Luke Nicholson right out of the picture and makes it impossible for us to get the glory. Because all we can say is, all I did was yield. I just put some time in prayer and I just tried to create an atmosphere and just follow the Lord. All I did was yield. And that's when the Holy Spirit can really come and have an impact. That's when the Holy Spirit can move in a church service, when He can move at your job, when He can move in your home, when He can move at your school. It's not when you can outsmart somebody. It's not when you can outquote somebody. It's not when you can show them that you know the Bible better than they do and that you can quote it backwards and forwards and make their nominal religion look silly to them because how fast you can quote the Bible. That's not it. Being able to out-argue somebody doesn't, you know, there was a brother telling me recently, he said there was some brothers there discussing some things about the message. I think it was a sister telling me. The pastors that she used to sit under and another brother, they were going to straighten out this other brother that they thought was wrong about something in the message. And they got him in a fishing boat and they began to argue and debate with him. And they convinced the man that he was wrong by arguing and debating him because they were the better debaters. And then they found out years later studying they were wrong and had to go back and apologize to the man. I thought, it might have been hard to convince him back once he thought, no, you convinced me. You fellas was right. So just being able to argue better doesn't mean you're right.
Amen.
Just being able to quote faster doesn't mean you're right. Just being able to memorize more scripture doesn't mean you're right. That's not it. What is it? Being able to yield.
Amen.
To where it's not what you can do, not what you can prove, not what you can say, not how smart you are, how great you are. But when you yield, it becomes how great He is and what He can do. And how He can help somebody. God help us to yield. Lord Jesus. Lord, I've tried tonight just to yield, Lord, as I've been preaching and teaching to the people here to do. Lord, I feel like You're trying to deal with individuals. That, Lord, maybe there's things that they've shied away from. Maybe there's things that they know that they've got gifts in their life that You've placed there, but maybe they're embarrassed, or maybe they're shy, or maybe Satan's tried to convince them that they're not worthy enough, or that they don't have the ability, Lord. But help us to yield, Lord. Maybe there's others, Lord, that they've tried to go, and they've tried to run, they've tried to go places and do things and work things out and accomplish things on their own. But they recognize that it's a failure every time, because in our human efforts, it's always a failure, Lord. But help us all, Lord, whether it's somebody that's afraid to go, help them to yield. Or whether it's somebody that's tried to go but got ahead of Your plan and tried to do it in themselves, Lord, help us to yield. Help us to yield to what You would have for us. Help us, Lord, to lay aside our thoughts and our ways and everything we've got figured out and just yield to Your Holy Spirit so that You could speak to us, so that You could guide us, so that You could lead us. Lord, I don't know all that You're doing. I don't know the impact that the words that I've spoke will have on people. I don't know exactly what it is, Lord, but I believe there's a reason and a purpose for the service tonight. Lord, may we just yield to the Holy Spirit, to where You could walk through us. You could talk through us. You could reach out a hand and help somebody through us, Lord. you can encourage somebody through us. Oh Lord, may it be you. May it not be us. Lord, all of our efforts are in vain. All of our self-righteousness is just filthy rags. Lord, but may it not be us. But may it be you, Lord. May it be you that the people see. Lord, as Brother Jason Watkins texts me the scripture that he had preached on Sunday morning, how that Paul, when he was departing in the book of Acts there, and he was leaving, didn't think that he would see some of the believers any longer. He said, I know that you won't see me anymore. That was his desire for the new year. That was his sermon for the going out. Lord, his desire is that people wouldn't see him anymore, but that they'd see Jesus Christ. Lord, that may that be our desire, Lord. When people look, Lord, when we go to the supermarkets, when we go to our job, when we go to our schools, may we be so yielded to where people don't see Nathan Bryan anymore. They don't see Arnie Byrd or Anthony Bryan anymore, but they see Jesus Christ working through human beings. So yielded that we don't see Furman Stutzman anymore, that it's not just a song leader, that it's not just some man going through the motions or some man picking out a song, Lord, but we recognize that it's the Holy Spirit working through our brother. And that when we get blessed by the song, or when we get encouraged by the way the Holy Spirit leads the service and certain songs that are picked and certain things that are said, we can recognize, Lord, that's not my brother up there. That's the Holy Spirit working through him. When the minister brothers get up and preach and it blesses our soul, Lord, may it not become a personality cult that we lean on the arm of the flesh, but may we look and see Jesus Christ, and that all we can say about our brothers is thank you for yielding. Thank you for yielding to that gift that God placed in your life. But we know that wasn't you. That was Jesus Christ coming to encourage our hearts. Oh, help us to yield in that way, Father. To where others would look, our neighbors, our school friends, our co-workers, our family members could look and see Jesus Christ living in human beings again in this age. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask it. Oh, reach out, touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, you will find He's not too busy to hear your heart cry. Oh, He is passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord. Oh, why don't you reach out? Touch the hem of His garment. Just yield to Him tonight. Oh, reach out. Touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, you will find He'll still hear your heart's cry. Oh, He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Just reach out. Hallelujah. You can touch Him tonight. You can touch Him. Oh, He's here in spirit form. You can reach out and touch Him. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He. You need healing tonight? Why don't you reach out and touch Him? You need victory over something? Why don't you reach out and touch Him as He goes by tonight? Oh, you need a confirmation of something? Why don't you just yield to Him and reach out, accept His answer for you tonight? Oh, He's here tonight. You can touch Him to supply. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He. Why don't we stand and sing it tonight? Just worship him a little while.
Reach out, touch the Lord as he goes by. Oh, you will find
he's
this moment, all your
to
to win.
Thank you, Jesus. This was me.
His child.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, he reconciled. Once more. Oh, love of God.
God's good. It's good that we know what he can do for us. Let's sing this little chorus before we go. It is no secret, oh, what my God can do, what he's done for others, oh, he can do for the chimes of times ring out the news, another day is through. Oh, someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? Saints, let's sing it as we go. Oh, what he's done for others, he will do for you. With arms wide open, there is no night, for in his light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. He will do for